Anybody else? Billy's doing good. Anybody else doing good this morning?
Doing great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get started this morning. I want you to take your bulletin and open up and look at the bottom of the second page. And it's got the words, "The Old Happy Day." We're going to sing this for our opener this morning, but you're more than welcome to join in with us this morning and sing along. Oh, happy day. Second one, I want the congregation to shout it back to us, okay? How many of you remember that day?
Amen.
Amen?
That's right.
And what a day it was. So let's sing it this morning. Choir first. You guys got the second old happy day, okay? And I want you guys to shout it to them, and you guys to shout it back to them, okay? Here we go.
Pleasant, dear God. I want to thank you for a home. Lord, and I want to thank you for food
May we see your holy lips, dear God. May we see your unclean lips this morning, dear Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray hide the pastor, hide the cross. I pray do you in a great way this morning. Lord, I pray our hearts will be clean, our hearts will be receptive, dear God, and we'll be here to grow as Christians, dear God, not just together. Lord, I pray we have those that are weak this morning, Lord, those that are struggling, Lord, those that are sick. I pray that you be with them, Lord. Not today, not a joyous day for everyone, God. I pray you just lift them up. We give you praise and honor for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our announcements, choir ensemble, Thursday at 6:30. Sunday, March 13th.
I believe that's next Sunday, the Rochester, right? Next Sunday?
That's March 13th.
13th. I think it is. Brent Rochester family will be with us to minister in song. Be inviting someone out. Be inviting someone out. Rally in the Valley teen event will be March 18th, which is Friday. The 19th, prayer breakfast. Well, it's going to be a fun weekend, is it not? Teens, you'll get a chance to hear from God. Men, you get a chance to speak with God. Ladies' Prayer Advance, March 24th, 26th, Shenandoah Baptist Church. Get your tickets. You can see Christ Life Ministries. We have a revival service planned with Pastor Mark Brandon on April 10th, June 20th, Craig County Fairgrounds, VBS. There's one thing not listed on your sheet that you ought to be familiar with. If your vehicle says, 12 o'clock when it's now 11 o'clock, next Sunday will actually be right. There's a time change coming up next Sunday, all right? We move ahead an hour. You might want to mark that down. You might want to be here for Sunday school. It's a great time in God's Word. All right, next. Move along. Page 28 in your hymnal. Grab your hymnal, hymn number 28. Let's stand. We'll do first, third, and fourth verse. First, third, and fourth verse. Let's all stand together in hymn number 28. just a reminder, the couples who went to the couples retreat and just got back yesterday, you have a moment, and just a moment, to share in as brief, concise words as you can what God did in your life and some of the things you heard. That's going to take place right after the choir sings Cornerstone, just before special music. So if you were a couple and you were there, Kevin expects us to come up and share a little bit of something that God touched or moved in our hearts. You've heard Cornerstone before. You've heard it from the choir. But what's a cornerstone in your life? What are you building upon? Listen to the words.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds amid the
fundamental truth of all that we believe and all that we practice, that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. Nothing is possible without Him, but everything is possible with Him. Thank you for the salvation that He brings. The salvation is through Christ and Christ alone. Oh, the cornerstone of our faith. Well, today I'd like for our couples, if they would make their way up here. We'll have Rich and Connie go first and see. Rich and Connie go first, and could we have Scott and Susie go second? And then have Mandy and Wes go third. Where else we got? I was looking right over top of you. So Logan and Amber, you guys go last, okay? Is that everybody? Is that me and you? Okay. You want to say something, don't you? How good a husband you got now. All right. I always encourage that. No. So, Brother Rich and Connie, would y'all share something God spoke to you about this weekend at Couples Retreat?
I got a wonderful husband. I'll just say that. I know everybody out here, all the women think their husbands are the greatest, and you should. We've been married 424 years, and we still need... We need to go. It's an awesome. You think you're doing something right, and then you realize, oh no, I need to change. We all have to be willing to change. We're each other's partners, soulmates. We're helpmeets. God put us there to help the other. And you learn a lot when you go here. And I'm not perfect. I don't know how He puts up with me, but He's mine. And I need to make him feel like he's mine. Encourage him and uplift him and be there for him and make things comfortable at home and the home ready when he comes home so he can relax and know that he's loved.
So sometimes when you go to a conference for anything, whether it's prayer or in this case it was a couples retreat, you sometimes go to be lifted up, and then sometimes you go and you're the guy in the corner, and the guy that is wailing on you is God. And that was me this time. It started before I even got there. We were having a little bit of discussion coming down the road, or at least I was venting, maybe might be a better way of putting it. And not about us, not about going to the conference. I just generally had a critical spirit. And I got to the hotel, and that was enhanced by some of the booking issues. Don't use booking.com, by the way. Find something else. So when I got upstairs to the room and was looking in the mirror, and Connie was getting ready, getting ready to go the first time, it could have been any speaker, but I already had a message. And I turned to Connie and I said, you know, I believe one of the first things I probably got to work on is critical spirit. To which she turned and said, you think? Yeah. So as we went through the weekend, there was various games and various things that you could do as couples and times to pray together. I know many of you have been down there before. Ron and Susie Cole were the speaker again this year. Been probably about 3 years before they were. And one of the neat things about them is they will share. And there's some things, if you saw the live stream, if you go to Tiftonia Baptist Church, there was a live stream done that I'm sure they'll be archiving and be available to see if you want to see any of the information is there about marriage and you could look at. But there's a section that won't be there. That's a section where they were as real as anybody could be with a group of people and before God. And they had cameras cut so that people wouldn't be offended. They had them cut so people in their lives wouldn't be hurt by being seen. And I appreciate how God can use us as messed up as we are. And I'd like you to pray for me. I thought we were pretty good. I still think we're pretty good as a couple. But pray for me. Because as the leader of my home, coming back from this weekend, I don't know how many of you know where is Waldo. You know that little guy where you go look for him and you see the tracks all over the comic strip? I kind of feel like that. So if you'll pray specifically for the Neps, be praying for me as God leads and directs.
As Susie and Scott come up today, this is their first time to the couples retreat, And I just really glad they got to go with us down there. And you guys just share what God laid on your heart.
I have some notes here because I can't. I have a hard time when I get in front of people remembering what I want to say. I'll try to keep it under an hour, I promise.
Sit down.
Coming up in July, Susie and I will be married 28 years. And I know it's kind of hard to believe. You know, we don't look that old. But just in case you're wondering, I was 10 years old when we got married. So do the math there. One of the things I remember, you know, from the time I was a teenager, I prayed for, and I would recommend anybody here who's not married, I would encourage you to start praying for your future spouse. I remember when I was a teenager, I was praying, had no idea who she was going to be, but I was praying for a wife, somebody who would be a helpmate to me, a Christian lady. And I know my parents are praying too. They wanted to get rid of me, I'm sure. But God blessed abundantly, and he gave me a wife. One of the things I was thinking about this weekend when we were down there was just, I was thinking over the past 28 years just how blessed I am and how good God's been to me. I mean, he's, and the verse that come to mind, I didn't have this verse memorized, but I remembered enough of it to where I could find it. I could go to the Bible and find it. It was Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, Now unto him that is able to do, and this is talking about God, of course. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I mean, and I was thinking back to those prayers I made for a wife, and I was thinking how God exceedingly, abundantly, above all I could even ever ask or even think, he blessed me above all of that. He really has, not just with a wife, but I mean, she has been a blessing to me, but all through our lives over the past 28 years, we have been, both of us have been abundantly blessed. And like Rich said, you know, we have a good marriage. And so I was, you know, so you're probably wondering, well, why would you want to go to a marriage retreat? And, you know, honestly, I asked myself the same question. Why in the world do we need to go down there to this? But, you know, I was excited about getting some time away with my wife, but I wasn't excited about going to the marriage retreat. And but I should have been because after we got there, I realized that what was going on there was very encouraging. Rich actually mentioned this. The speakers there were very real. They were real with their struggles. One of the pastors there actually said, you know, how do we know that you're going through trials and through hard times? He said, because we do. And, you know, I think that's one thing that we should be doing more of as a church together, is encouraging each other, exhorting one another. And one way we can do that is, you know, be real with each other. So many times we come to church and we put on a front where everything's, you know, perfect. And I am an expert at that. I've been in church all my life, and I'm an expert at making it look like, you know, everything's perfect. There's no problems. But we can actually encourage each other through our problems. We, you know, once you see somebody who's going through something similar that you are, or has issues similar to you, and they testify how God has brought them through that and how he's blessed them, you start realizing, well, he can do the same thing for me. And so that, it was very encouraging that way. All the speakers, the pastors on the question and answer panel were very, very transparent. They were very real with things. It was also exciting in that, you know, it was somebody mentioned this down there. They said, you know, we come here to celebrate our marriages. And it is exciting to hear how God wants to bless your marriage and what he wants to do through your marriage. It's exciting to know that God, all the things that God has in store for us, if we would just, you know, serve him, if we would just get in his word and seek those things. Seek how God wants to use us and how he wants to bless our marriages. And, you know, we see the things that's going on in the world today, and we're like, you know, what can I do? What can I do to help this situation or whatever? You know, one of the things we can do is have, you know, have strong marriages and have children who will grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and affect our culture. I think I'm done, but yeah, I'm glad. I'm very glad that we went, and I hope, you know, if the Lord tarries his coming, I hope that we get to go again next year. So
I'll just say ditto. No, it was a lot of fun. It was very encouraging. Scott is wonderful to me. I've been blessed beyond I could ever imagine, ever dream of. We've had our struggles. We've had good times. One thing about the conference, Mark Brandon, who heads it up with, and his wife, they truly have a burden for the marriage couples, and because they've been through it, and they know how struggle it is, and they know how Satan wants to destroy our marriages because it's holy, it's sacred, and if he can destroy your marriage, he can destroy your family, he can destroy your children, your testimony, and so. It's a burden for him, and he truly believes in this, and that's why he keeps it up. It does get hard, but everything he said I totally agree with, but one thing really stuck out to me was at the end they asked who was married the most. You know, Scott thought we was going to be the one.
Yeah, the oldest.
The oldest there, but we found out we weren't. There was couples there married like 50 years, 60 years, and... To look back at those precious couples and the peace and the satisfaction and the comfort they had in each other, I'm thinking, I hope that's us. You know, it's just life with him has been amazing. It doesn't seem like 28 years. It's flown by so fast. I can't imagine my life without him. And God's been so good to us and has blessed us. And one thing Mark, you know, talked about too, and the speakers, was the valleys we go through. And how those valleys will actually make you stronger. They'll draw you closer together. So be thankful for those and just cling to each other and to God and to get through those, because it just draws you closer. And Satan will attack you. He will attack your home. So just pray for your families. And I encourage you next year to go. It was a lot of fun. It was very encouraging. So like I said, those older couples was a huge testimony to me, just watching their sweet faces and seeing how they stuck through all these years.
First weekend in March next year. Go ahead now, clear out your schedule, Mike, Dottie. Make those plans, and others. I guarantee you, it's a very valuable thing to do. And there's nothing more important than investing in your home and in your marriage. So, first week in March.
Greetings from Team Critter Wrangler. Team Critter Wrangler. When they were reading out the names, because this is my lovely little possum, and I'm her donkey. We'll go with that term for now. But that's one thing with this conference. They had us come up with a team name and a mission statement for your marriage. And, you know, kind of like Rich, there was things God was already working on me on. And anybody that missed the February men's prayer breakfast, y'all missed it, because this follows right in. And it's how to love our wives as Christ loved the church and how to be sacrificial in that love. I thought I was all right with it, but there's more I need to be. But our mission as a couple, because we see what the world shows as marriage and what the world shows as okay, and knowing some of the home environments of some of our young people, we want to be that couple that shows them God and how God works.
I'm very blessed. I won't go into details, but sometimes my home life was pretty rough as a kid. But after we got married, I realized that some of my tactics, my supports, and my dealing with how I was always learned to deal with home life wasn't going to work. Walking off and being quiet wasn't going to work. And God blessed me at a young age. I was 15. I struggled with my self-esteem, my indifference, and all of that. And he gave me Wesley. He knew I needed this man. And yes, we've had trouble. We've had a lot of trouble. But
God's been a real good pastor, yeah.
He's been faithful to us, and he's brought us through all of that. And I want us to be able to say, if you need a strong support system, if you don't know what a marriage should look like, don't look at us. Don't look at us. But let us help you learn what it should look like, because we're still learning. And helping you will help us learn. And we thank Mark and Laurel, we thank Kevin and Missy, because they introduced us to this. And now we have a mission, and we look forward to God helping us in that mission.
Yep. And seriously, you go 1 year, you're kind of like that weird cousin nobody talks about. But the next year, you come back, your family. We've been going to this, 8, 9 years now? And the first year, yeah, you're kind of like an outsider. After that, you're family. We'll take everybody.
We missed 1 year, and I had couples constantly, "We're sorry we didn't see you this year." Those couples pray for us every day. People I don't know on a daily basis pray for me every day in my marriage. And I'm so thankful for that.
Thank you all very much for that. Amber and Logan, it was their first year too.
It was.
And
it was.
Well, they're pretty much still newlyweds. So I pray that you've seen the value of this tool for your marriage, and share with what God spoke to y'all.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to go. I was not excited about it. And that's, just the truth. I tell you, the reason I think that was I knew that I was going to hear stuff that I had to work on, I think my pride, I let that get in the way. And I can tell you it was an eye-opener. It really was. I can tell you, the Bible, states be content with such things as you have. But it does not say be content with the state of your marriage. And, I think that's how I was. I wasn't worried about my intimacy. I was fine, and God help us to never get in that state of being content. With us, we've been married almost a year now. April 3rd will be a year. And one of the things that I really took from that was Mr. Cole said, don't put it in autopilot. You should always be looking for things to improve. Just don't just coast into, your next year, your next 5 years. The first five are going to be pretty tough. We're still getting to know each other. That was one thing I really learned. Just don't put it in autopilot. Another thing was, the intimacy with God is going to reflect our church, our marriage. So, I had to really sit back and think, am I where I need to be with God? And the answer to that was no. I'm nowhere near being there with God. That way it shows in my marriage, shows in the church. It was definitely I got beat around, like Rich said. I got, he took me for 9 rounds and he whooped me up good. that's for sure. But, man, don't take for granted a wife that prays for you. I know that my wife's always praying for me. She's always praying for my relationship with God, too. She tells me that, and I know she is. For newlyweds that had just gotten married, or even, like, say, they were there, couples there that were married 60 years, there's a reason for that, you know. So if you get a chance to go next year, you should definitely go. Thank you.
I'm really thankful that we had this resource and that we took advantage of using it, because now we can learn, you know, God's design for marriage and what it's supposed to look like. And being newlyweds, learning that early and applying that, that's going to set us up for a successful marriage and God's design for marriage. And I learned a lot. I think they were speaking to me the entire time. But what would roll it all into one, I think, is being the helpmeet. God made me for my husband and to meet his needs. And that's my number one job. And if I'm doing my job, then I'm encouraging him, and I'm respecting him and giving him a safe place at home. And those are all important in letting him do his job. If I'm doing my job as the helpmeet, then he's able to do his job better and his relationship with God can be better. Also, really quickly, something they said that really resonated with me is everybody has hurt or anger or whatever your emotion is in your marriage. You have to prefer your spouse over your right to feel that emotion. And I think that would be a really big help to everybody if we remember that, our forgiveness should look like God's, and then my relationship with him is more important to me than any little thing or even a big thing. Holding on to that it's not worth it. So I'm really thankful for those resources.
Why don't you go first?
Me?
Yes.
Okay, so, hi. Say hi, everybody. So, the couples retreat is always, it's kind of like a family reunion for us. Pastor Mark and Laura, they invested in our marriage years ago when we were struggling, and I thank Pastor Sexton for that, because Pastor Sexton was an aid to Pastor Mark and Laura when they were going through troubles. And Laura and Mark have such a desire to help people not go through what they went through. And that was passed on to us because we've been there, and we know what it's like on the other side. We know what it's like to have a bad marriage, and nobody wants that. Not really. And so I'm just super thankful that they've carried this on another year. And I learned everything was for me. Everything was for me. And to call out those, what was most important is the same with Amber. I just, I'm not the helpmeet that I should be. And I looked at it wrong. I looked at being a helpmeet as being a slave or a servant or to pick up what wasn't done, and that's not true at all. My role is super important, and it's, if you look at it, we either make or break our home, ladies, and that's huge. Like, that makes us Wonder Woman, and if I'm doing my job right, if I'm making my home the haven that it should be, where he wants to come home to, then he can also, he'll have a different love for me. And that's how it works. It's not a man ruling the woman and making her submit. It's a woman loving her husband and submitting freely to be his helpmeet. And I just think about, I brought JoJo up here with me because I think about, you know, what our family would look like if Kevin and I hadn't have pushed through and allowed the Lord to change our hearts and our marriage. And I see Jacob and Caitlin with this little precious baby. And I think, you
say
know.
Say Papa, Papa.
Can you say Mama? Can you say Mama? She learned Mama this week, you guys. So, but I think about what that would have looked, what it would look like with us trying to share her. And I'm so thankful that God reached us. And I see Jacob being the leader of his home now, and the way Caitlin loves him, and they're, but they're, you're following a pattern that could be different, and I'm so thankful that it's not. And it also gave me a bigger desire, a huge desire to invest in those of you that are about to be married and those that want to be married one day. And so the Lord has given us a fantastic idea. And we don't want to wait to have a marriage conference for you guys. We don't want you to wait until you're married to go and learn the things that we found out later after all the damage was done. So we're going to be pulling together a day seminar for you young couples, singles that want to be married one day.
Or are engaged.
Or are engaged to be married.
And or just starting out. We'll put you all in there too, right?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Our newlyweds, we want to invest in you. We want to pour out what we know that works so that you don't have to go down the same into the valleys that we were in and get you started on the right foot. So we'll be bringing more information about that, but I want you to be committed. Be committed to be there. It's one day of your whole life, you can go and learn some amazing truths from God's word that's going to help your marriage thrive. And so we're excited about it. We want you to be excited about it. You can invite your friends. But anyhow, we'll talk more about that later. And just know that God thinks your marriage is important, like super important. He started with you. And he wants your marriage to be influential. And it is. One way or the other, your marriage influences your child and how they're going to be married one day. So,
amen.
Is that all?
You done unwrapped it already. Oh, my gracious. No, I did everything everybody else said, and it was a tremendous time. And I'm so thankful for those that went. And I know there was others that wanted to go, but things happened. They couldn't be there. And just make it a point next year to be there. And I'm thankful for that verse in the Bible. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it goes through all those different seasons and things of life, but it says, and God has made all things beautiful in his time. And I want to tell you, marriage is a good thing. He who finds a wife has found a good thing.
Amen.
I mean, this world, I want you to think marriage as something that's the old ball and chain. Oh, yeah, you know, it's just, yeah, who wants to be married? I want to tell you, done God's way, it's awesome. And I hope that has been an encouragement to you. I know some of you could not go this year, and I just wanted to relay that to you and let you guys anticipate next year, okay? All right, well, Tanya has a song for us this morning, and she's going to sing, and then if you would, we're going to be in Revelations. Turn your Bible to Revelations this morning, and I will preach to you. Go ahead, Tanya.
We all do have our struggles, and I think we are all guilty of kind of trying to pretend that we don't. Most of our struggles are within, right? We fight a lot more battles right here than we do anywhere, and I know we all go through that, and it can feel a little overwhelming at times, and had this thought that it was not Jesus who was executed on that cross. It was my fear, and it was my sin, and it was my shame and my regret. The power of all of those things died there. It wasn't him. He rose again, but they were overtaken by his power, the power of the cross. And when we find ourselves struggling, I think sometimes I just need the reminder that that battle has already been won. And sometimes I'm fighting things that Jesus himself fought for me. And so this song just came to me last weekend. Folding laundry, doing things at home. But it's just about what I find at the cross. Sometimes the struggle's overwhelming. Sometimes I wonder if I'll make it through. So when the burden is too heavy, remind me that my struggle has already died with you at the cross, where Jesus died for me. Jesus set me free from everything that would destroy me at the cross. I find everything I need. I'm trading my struggle for your victory. 'Cause you already won this battle for me at the cross. Now everything I am is given in exchange for everything you are. I'm rewarded and forgiven because you buried all that I deserve beneath your scars at the cross, where Jesus died for me. Jesus set me free from everything that would destroy me at the cross. I find everything I need. I'm trading my struggle for your victory. 'Cause you already won this battle for me at the cross. Now sin has lost its power and death has lost its sting. Everything that stacked against me died beside you on that tree. And now I live to walk in freedom. I'm no longer bound by chains. Everything I battle, you already overcame at the cross, where Jesus died for me. Jesus set me free from everything that would destroy me at the cross. I find I'm trading my struggle for your victory, 'cause you already won this battle for me at the cross. At the cross.
And young people can be dismissed this morning to go downstairs. I would say I won't be long. I'm going to try not to be long, so y'all might want to. I'll try to be done by 10 or 15 after this morning. So, really, but you know, it's been good. I want these young people to hear from these married couples, and I want them to understand there's some people that really thank God for what He's put together and how He wants to use it to be an example to this world. Revelation chapter 21 this morning. Revelation chapter 21. Rich, could you help Eddie there real quick just for a moment? Okay. Okay. Way to get everybody woke up here, Virginia. Okay. Huh? Need to turn the air conditioner up here. Okay. you had us a little worried there. Revelation chapter 21 this morning. I want to read these verses. If you would, let's stand to our feet in reverence to God's word. But Revelation chapter 21, I want us to look at verse 6 through 8. Verse 6 through 8. It says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you add the blessing to the reading of your word today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll fill me and use me just for a few moments today. God, may our hearts be open to what you'd have for us to see today in the Word of God. Lord, I pray if there is someone this day that does not know you as their personal Savior, dear God, they've not accepted you, they've not been born again. God, I pray this morning, dear God, that you would just convict their heart, love them unto yourself like the only way that you can. And Lord, I pray this morning, dear God, for Christians this morning. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be enlarged. Lord, I pray that an urgency will come about in our lives, dear God, to reach others for the glory of God. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As I read these verses this morning, I read them and I feel compelled. I feel compelled to once again to preach a message on hell. You know, I believe that I was been thinking for a few weeks now that I was going to preach on heaven, and I had all plans this morning to preach on heaven this morning and maybe next week and maybe the week after, but the Lord just kept on telling me, you can't preach on how sweet heaven is without telling people about a place called hell. Because just as certain as there's a place called heaven that all the redeemed are able to go and be forever with the Lord, there is a place also called hell. As there's a place that we desire to go and we want to go and look forward to going, there's another place that we should do all that we can not to go, to do all that we can to avoid this awful place that is appointed unto a person who does not know Christ as their Savior. And it has to be preached, and And if I don't preach it, I'm not much of a preacher. Oh, I've just preached through the month of February on home and the importance of our homes and the importance of our homes being connected to the church and the importance that our homes touch heaven and how that God has orchestrated our marriages and our homes to reflect His goodness and to reflect His working upon this earth and what a beautiful picture that it is and how it's so intertwined with everything that we do and everything that how we're to live and be an example, how we're to be that salt and how we're to be that light in this world that we're living in. And we saw some great truths there. But you know what? We can never do and we can never have things according to the way God would want us to have them, those beautiful things in life, that knowledge that puts those precious and rich things in our homes without knowing that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Without knowing there's a Savior that lived and died and He rose again the third day so that we would not have to go to that awful place called hell. You say, well, how could there, God that we say that is love have a place called hell and send people there? Let me tell you this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is love. There is love. He made it. Hey, He made it possible that we did not have to go. And there's only one way that we can't go. And that is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. But I read verses like this, and I remember verses like here in Matthew chapter 7 where it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. So I read those verses and I realize there's going to be certain people in heaven. You know what? There's going to be religious people in heaven. So how can you say that? How in the world can a person be religious and die? I mean, I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about hell. I'm sorry. I'm mixed up here. We're going to be in hell. Religious people is going to be in hell. Just because a person is religious and they do certain things and they do certain works and they do good things doesn't mean that they're going to be in heaven. But there's going to be religious people in heaven, in hell. Also, you know what? There's going to be good people in hell. You know why? Because only saved people go to heaven. You know, another set of people is going to be in hell is the lost, which all three would be, according to what I just said, would be lost people. Anyone who does not know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, they will lift up their eyes in hell and say, man, I wish I'd have listened. Oh, I wish I'd have never came to this awful place called hell. You know what? I must deal with this difficult situation, this subject this morning, today. If I hesitate to preach on the subject, but I must as a man of God who has pledged to preach the whole counsel of God. I'd much rather say something about joy, but there is no joy without knowing sorrow. But I'd much rather say something about hope, but the hope isn't a concrete without experiencing hopelessness. And you can't truly experience the victory without knowing what it's like to have been living defeated. You know what? I want to preach on heaven this morning, but I must first of all preach on hell because you know what? Heaven's not near as sweet. If you don't know, there's a place called hell that we were destined to go. And you can't. Adrian Rogers said this, I believe the reason we have so much so-called hell in our world is because we have so little in our pulpits.
Preachers, they avoid speaking on hell. Oh, that makes people uncomfortable. Why do I always have that old fire and brimstone preaching? No, it scares people. We shouldn't. It bothers our children. They get a little worried. I want to tell you, hey, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did on heaven. People must know that there is a place of judgment that a person will be through all eternity who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It is a place called hell, and it is worse than we could ever imagine it to be. You know what this should do is preaching on hell, it should motivate us. It should motivate a person who does not know Christ as their Savior, who does not know where they would spend eternity, to call out on Jesus Christ to come into their life and to forgive them of their sins and to save them, to be born again as the Bible clearly teaches. Jesus Christ himself says, what must a man do to be saved? Or Nicodemus said to him, what must a man do to be saved? And Jesus Christ said these words, by the way, saved, born again, is great biblical words. And Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, ye must be born again. This shows that there is some radical change that takes place in our lives. This means that Jesus Christ comes in and we are a new creature. It means he changes the old things, they be cast away. Behold, all things become new. It's what the Bible clearly teaches us that we must do. So, if a person is lost this morning, it should motivate them to the cross. And you know what? If a person in here today is saved, this message ought to motivate us to tell everybody that we know, every loved one that we have, every neighbor that we meet, everyone we pass in the grocery store, at the pump, and we ought to ask them this question. Do you know that Jesus Christ loves you and died on the cross for your sins? Do you know where you will spend eternity? Because you know what? Nobody wants anybody to go to hell. But hell is real. And hell is for certain for many folks. And it ought to motivate us and move us. If we truly, as Christians, believe there is a hell, don't you think that we would be busy? Don't you think that we would be telling everybody that we come? How many people will pass by us? How many people will pass by us and say, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me about Jesus Christ? If you believe this place that I'm getting cast into was real. Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So we are motivated by the love of God and the knowledge of the terror of the Lord. We have loved ones who are going to die and go to hell unless we bring the message of salvation and the message of redemption to them. If I am faithful preacher of the Christ, I am going to have preach as Jesus Christ preached. Jesus Christ had more to say about a place called hell than anyone else in the Bible. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8 says, but the fearful or the faithless and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I want to back up just one second here, and I want to hit these first two, the fearful, the faithless, and then I want this to see this word, the unbelieving. By the way, there is only one truth. There is only one truth. And somebody does not believe the truth, they're going to be unbelieving. They're depending on some other way for salvation. They will wake up in hell and they'll be crying, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, and it'll be too late. The unbelieving. Well, I don't believe you'll have to be saved. I don't believe you have to be born again. I don't believe. I don't believe what Jesus Christ said. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it ain't so. There has to be salvation come to the life of all individuals. They must accept what Jesus Christ done on the cross of Calvary. They must humble themselves before a holy and a righteous God and saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins to come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Oh yes, these sayings are difficult and they're hard to swallow. But let me remind you that Jesus Christ had an audience of many followers one day as he expounded upon how the Christian life ought to be and what it ought to look like, that there would be suffering and there would be difficulties, and says that many of them turned away because these sayings were too hard. Dr. Robert G. Lee said this, I know some people call the preacher who stands squarely upon the teachings of Christ and his apostles narrow, harsh, cruel. Then he said, as being narrow, I have no desire to be any broader than Jesus. As to being cruel, is it cruel to tell a man the truth? Is a man to be called cruel who declares the whole counsel of God and points out to me their danger? Is it cruel to arouse a sleeping people to the fact that the house is on fire? Is it cruel to jerk a blind man away from a rattlesnake in the coil? Is it cruel to declare to people the deadliness of disease and tell them which medicine to take? And then he said, I'd rather be called cruel for being kind than be called kind for being cruel. Church, I hope you see the heart of your pastor this morning. Oh yeah, it's a difficult thing to talk about, but you know what? If I care about anyone in this room, I'm going to warn them. I'm going to tell them that hell is a real place. And it's a place for people that's going to wake up and they're going to be in total torments for all eternity if they don't know Christ as their Savior, if the blood has not been applied to their life, and there is no other way but Jesus Christ. He is the only way. I wouldn't be worth my salt if I steered around these things that people don't want to hear about. But you know what? Sometimes things that we don't want to hear is just what we need to hear. Even when it comes to our service to the Lord, knowing that, you know what? People are going to die. The people I'm going to come in next to, they're going to die and go to hell if they don't accept Christ as Savior. I must tell them about the love of Jesus. I must live. I must have a testimony that points them to the cross. Because my God is a God of love. And we meet that love at the cross. No greater love has ever been shown than what was shown at the cross. Oh, hell is a real place. You know, you can deal with what I have to say about hell. You can deal with it in three different ways today. You can reject it. Oh, just that preacher. He's talking about that hell, trying to scare people into doing something. I ain't trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth. And I want to let the Holy Spirit convict you, if you don't know Him this morning, that you need to know Him. And I want Him to convict the one who's maybe being slothful as a Christian and not about the Lord's business. I want it to prick your heart this morning. I want the Holy Spirit to convict you. I want the love of God to overwhelm you in your heart for the others and the lost to this world. Something's got to wake us out of our lethargic lifestyles that we live in as Christians. Something's got to shake us to the core. And I want to tell you, if we can get a glimpse of hell and what it's going to be like, I believe it'll stir us and it'll shake us to do something. Oh, we can reject it. We can ignore it. Maybe it's going in one ear and out the other. But don't ignore it this morning. There's another way that we can respond to it, and it's this way. You can accept it and do something about it. Maybe, wouldn't it be terrible to hear about a place called hell and not be able to do anything about it? If a person sitting in here lost today and don't know Christ as their Savior, and sitting here and all they could hear about is, hey, we're going to hell, we're going to hell, we're going to hell, and there was nothing we could do about it. I want to tell you this morning, there is something you can do about it this morning. You can call out on Jesus Christ to save your soul this morning, and it can change your eternal destiny. and as a Christian in here this morning. You know, you're going to listen about it. You're going to hear a few things about hell, and you're going to think, you know what? Well, what can I do about it? Well, let me tell you what you can do about it. You can take as many people to heaven as you want, as you can. You can strive to tell people about Christ. You can reach out, and you can do what you can do to bring people into the family of God. You can do something about it. I don't know. I'm so very thankful that I was a dad that, you know what, I was able to tell my children about a place called hell. And when they came to that place, when they knew what right and wrong was, and they knew that dad, they knew, believed that hell was real, and he told you what hell was in the Bible and how people go there, I'm thankful I could tell them that. But I could tell them, you know what, Jesus Christ, he died on the cross for your sins, Jacob. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, Hannah. And he loves you, and he don't want you to go there. And I want you to be with me. I want you to be with your mama. I want you to be with eternity with us. And you know what? Jesus Christ made a way that you don't have to go there. I was able to do something about it. Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody as precious as Matthew right here? Having no hope. I can't imagine this. I ain't gonna wake her up. I can't imagine. That little girl, grown up, coming to that age of accountability and not know that there is a place called hell. For everyone who does not call upon the name of the Lord. Because we are all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need salvation. I can't imagine her growing up and never hearing about a place called hell. And never hearing about a God that loved her. I can't imagine it. But you know what? I'm able to do something about it. Her mommy and daddy's able to do something about it. And they're able to raise this next one. By the way, we may have another one, buddy, in the week. Another grandbaby running around. Y'all pray for Caitlin. Pray for Jacob. But you know what? We got a good news. Forever to be with the Lord. You know, I look around here and I think, you know what? One of the greatest things is I got friends around here, and we're going to be, this world, it stinks. It does. It does. It stinks. I'm sorry. And it's a lot of things going on. But you know what? We all have a mission. But you know what? Forever we're going to be with the Lord, Aaron. There's an eternity out there. And you know what? We ain't going to just be floating around out there in that eternity. Woo! Woo-hoo! There's life out there, everlasting life. I'm not going to some spirit world and just, you know, it's just going to be just like this la-la land or whatever. But, man, get in the book, buddy. He'll tell you. Boy, we're going to be having a time. We're going to reign and rule with Jesus Christ on this earth. There's going to be, heaven's going to come down. That new Jerusalem's going to come down. We're going to be going in and out. My gracious, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Boy, how it help us to get our eyes off the temporal things and get our eyes on eternity, and let's get busy to take all the people we can with us. Oh, when the saints come marching in. Whew, I don't know about you, but that's exciting to me. You know what? Even this physical death, don't get me wrong, I don't want to die right now as far as physically. But you know what? If it comes to me, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Don't threaten me with death. I'm so certain. I'm sure. I'm sure. I'm sure. I'm absolutely. I know. I can't put no doubt in my heart that I know Christ is my Savior. I'm a child of the King. I know. I know. And you know what? I'm going to be having the time of my life in the presence of my Savior. this introduction is really long this morning, but I want to go over this. I don't really want to rush these, but I got to give you this. I got to give you this. Hell is a place of depraved associations. In other words, hell is a place where evil lurks and exists everywhere you go. You think about it. Think about this. The worst thing, the most vile, the most wicked, the most scariest thing, you think about somebody and the evil they have participated in. I mean, come on. We've seen evil like crazy in this land as it is right now. Think about what's going on right now as Putin is killing innocent people. And I saw just the other day a young lady over there that was getting that had a piece of strap metal. They was trying to save her life, and a 6-year-old girl. The life went out right before our eyes as I watched it on television. Evil. Think about all the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of babies that have been aborted, and the people responsible for that. That evilness. Oh, the babies, thank God, won't be in hell. But I want to tell you, those murderers are going to be there to have no, there's no sanctity of life to them. Unless they called out on the name of the Lord before it was too late, before they left this world. Think about that, those child molesters. Took the innocence of children. Filthy, corrupt minds. Think about it. The shadows, the despair, the darkness of hell. The depraved will be there. The depraved associations will be there. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers. By the way, this sorcerers comes before that we get pharmaceutical. This is your drug pushers. They want to rip away the very mind and the soul of an individual. Idolaters and liars. Hell is a place of depraved associations. Also, hell is a place of separation from saints. The saints receive an inheritance in heaven. The lost receive hell. Two separate places. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the redeemed. I'm thankful for Jesus, that for people that love Jesus Christ and they want to do what God wants them to do. I'm thankful for the salt. I am thankful for the light. But can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine in this world when it's completely separated from what salt and light? There's none of that in hell. There's no salt. There's no light in hell. There's a separation of the sinners and the saints. They go to two different places. Three, hell is a place of eternal darkness. Well, I'm going to go to hell and I'm proud of it. I'll just burn up and that's all that will be done. Let me tell you this. Hell is a place of eternal darkness. And by the word darkness, I mean all the evil and all the filth and all the wickedness. It's there. It's eternal. You ever been rubbing elbows in the places or been in the pit with other people and their lifestyles that are dealing with it, and it just seems like you get you feel like you get just all filthy. I'm telling you, I know what it's got to feel like being involved in the RU ministry and some of the things you got to deal with. I know what it's like to deal with sometimes as pastor, some of the things that you got to hear, some of the things you got to deal with. And you know what? It just makes you feel dirty inside. But you know what? I want to tell you this. In hell, there'll never be a chance of ever getting away from it. There'll never be a chance. The darkness that pulls us down, depravity, all this stuff that wants to rip us apart and make misery, it'll be there for eternal, the eternal darkness of hell. Another thing about hell, hell is a place of hopelessness. Hell is a place of hopelessness. No chance for improvement. No chance for improvement. Think about it. It talks about when the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he said, send Lazarus that he may stick his finger in this in water so I may get a drip of it off and get it on my tongue. He was so thirsty. He was so thirsty. And it says when he lifted up his eyes, he was being in torments. Torments, plural. Let me tell you this, that hell is a place of hopelessness, of things never getting any better. I mean, think about it. We get sick now. We have a surgery, whatever. It's okay. Eventually, we're going to get to feeling better. The pain's going to ease up and go away. I mean, if you have hope, but in hell, there's no chance. There's no chance of anything ever being better. Hopelessness. No chance for relief. No chance to be in the presence of God. Let me tell you, right now, if you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in this building this morning, I want to tell you, you have a chance to be in the presence of God. You got a chance to live in His presence. He made that possible through His Son that died on the cross for your sins, made it possible that you may know. But in hell, there will be never a chance to be in His presence. You know what? Hell is a place of everlasting death, which is the second death, it says in verse number 8. Eternal separation from God. No hope, hopeless. Hell is a place of eternal fire. Eternal fire. It says, the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone. But my friend, as bad as hell is, nobody has to go. Nobody has to go. And I'm going to leave you with this, and this is just the beginning of my message next week. But as real as there is a place called hell, and there's a place where all who have rejected Jesus Christ will spend eternity, there is a place just as real in a place called heaven. Just as real as there is a place called First Baptist Church in Newcastle, Virginia, where you're sitting this morning, just as real, there is a place called heaven. The Bible refers to it as a place. And it says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, I'm the way. He says, the way of escape of this place called hell, the way of escape is me. The way that leads to heaven is me. This is a narrow way, and few there will be that find it. See that verse right there, when it talks about that narrow way and few there be that find it, means that bothers me too. That makes me want to get in the Word. That makes me want to preach the truth more than ever, because you know what? I want everybody to find it. But it tells me that, you know what? Everybody's not going to find it. They're going to try other ways. They're going to try other routes. But narrow is this way. This way is as narrow as Jesus Christ. The only way. And then He goes on to say, I am the truth. By the way, He cannot lie. Did He not tell us that there is a heaven? Did He not tell us that there's a hell to shun? But did He not tell us there's a heaven? He cannot lie. What He said about hell is truth, and what He tells us about heaven is absolutely true too. And then He says, I am the life. Hell is all about death, and heaven is all about life. Everlasting life. You know, hell is as or heaven is as prominent as hell is in the Word of God. Heaven is a prominent theme of the Bible. The The word heaven is mentioned over 600 times in the Bible. 33 of the 39 books of the Old Testament talk about heaven. 21 books of the New Testament talk about heaven. In the Old Testament, it came from a Hebrew word meaning the heights. In the New Testament, it comes from a Greek word meaning raised up or lofty. In Psalms 23:6, it's referred to as the house of the Lord. In Luke 23:43, it's referred to as paradise. In Hebrews 11:10, it's referred to that city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Revelations 14:1, it's mentioned as Mount Zion. In Revelations 21:2, it's the New Jerusalem. If a person was to delete all the references to heaven from the Bible, the text of the Bible would fall apart. There's a plurality of heaven. The Bible speaks of the distinct heavens. Paul, to the church in 2 Corinthians 12:2, said this. He said, I was caught up to the third heaven. So, if there's a third heaven, there's a first and second heaven. The first heaven is this, the atmospheric heaven, the skies, life bringing oxygen. Also, there's a second heaven. This is the vast universe in which we live. Billions of stars, planets, dust and clouds, meteors and galaxies. But let me tell you, there is a third heaven, is what I'm talking about this morning. It's a heaven that is beyond those heavens. It's a heaven that goes out. You, by the way, astronomers and scientists have found a void. They can't even describe how big it is. They don't even know what's there. But you go beyond the galaxies. You go beyond. There's a place that they can't put into words. They don't really know. But it's way beyond. Could it be? I'm not going to be dogmatic about it, but let me tell you, heaven is beyond the first and the second. It is a real place. The third heaven was what Paul had in mind when he wrote, I know not a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he called up into paradise and heard an inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul was referring to the third. The psalmist said, the Lord is in the holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Psalms 103, the Lord has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. So let us talk about this place. I'm just going to introduce it this morning. I got to get here because you know what? I'm so thankful that there is a heaven that we can go. This place called heaven. The third heaven is just as real as the first and the second heaven. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This word comes from the Greek word topos, which strictly refers to a place. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of earth. Heaven is a real, literal, physical place. I think I'll say enough I need to say this morning as I tell you this. Heaven is precious. And I'm going to give you the main reason why heaven is precious. And I'll continue this message next week. Heaven is precious because our Redeemer is there. You know what? Jesus Christ is in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is in this place, the one who has made it all possible. Oh yeah, we'll probably get in and talking about heaven, talking about those jewels and those foundations. We're going to talk about the splendor of the transparent gold streets and talk about the gates and talk about the walls of that city. And we're going to talk about how big this place is, this country. But let me tell you this, all of it fades in the presence of our Savior. You want to know what the most important thing is about heaven? It ain't your mansion. It's not the streets of gold. It's not the gates of pearl, but the Redeemer who made it all possible. And we wouldn't have to go to a place called hell. Our Redeemer liveth. Every head bowed this morning. Maybe sitting in this place this morning and you say, Pastor Kevin, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I have been born again. I know that Christ lives inside of me. If you know this morning, could you raise your hand this morning and say, Pastor Kevin, I know for certain this morning. Hold them up just for a moment. I know that I'm a child of the King. Okay, you put them down. I did notice this morning that every hand could not be raised. Couldn't raise that hand this morning. I told you about a place that I don't want anybody to go. And I know you don't want to go there either. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't know Him, that's where you're headed. Can I tell you about the love of my Savior this morning? He doesn't want you to go there either. And He made it possible that you could escape this place. I'm not trying to sell you fire insurance this morning. I'm trying to sell you a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God that comes into our lives, changes our lives, gives us the victory. He loves us. And all you have to do this morning is call out unto Him and ask Him to come into your life. Is there anyone here this morning say, Pastor Kevin, God is dealing with my heart. I feel Him tugging at my heart. I need to know where I would spend eternity. I am concerned about my soul. Anyone that would just slip up their hand and say, Pastor, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to pull you down here, but I do want to pray for you. Anyone this morning, would you raise your hand up? Anyone? I beg you today, don't delay. Don't delay. Call upon Him. If someone's listening by the way of internet this morning, if you need to talk to me, please. Send me a message today. Call me on the phone. I'll be more than glad to talk to you about salvation. If you don't know Him today, if you're not certain where you spend eternity, I would love to tell you more about my Jesus. But you know what? You can call Him right there where you're at. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that You lived and died on the cross for my sins. I'm asking You to forgive me my sins. Lord, I repent. I turn away from my lifestyle. Lord, I'm turning into You. Lord, forgive me and come into my life. And be my Lord and Savior. Lord, sit upon the throne of my heart and of my life. And Lord, from this day forward, I want to live for You the best I can. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. Thank You for being my Redeemer. Lord, let me live for Thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I hope that you prayed that prayer this morning. If you did not, do not know Him. But you know what? Everybody look up this way. Church, we need to know that hell is a real place. And knowing that hell is a real place, we're so thankful for the heaven that He's given us. But being thankful, we in return need to be telling everybody that we can, doing what God has called us to do, using our talents and our abilities for His glory and for His honor. Why? What's the point of it? Well, the point of it, that people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's got to be our number one priority of everything that we do. That is it. Shall a man gain the world and lose his soul? What a tragedy. I hope there's something to be said this morning just helped to sober our hearts, and let's just allow God to use us to be the light and the salt that He has desired for us to be. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'd like to ask Mr. Wright, if you would, dismiss us in a word of prayer this morning, please, sir.